Acts 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, while we stand, and as I read, we'll be visiting both of those chapters, Acts chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible, Acts chapter 1, and then also if you'll go ahead and find 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. In Acts chapter 1, I'll direct you to one verse, verse number 8. It's read a lot here. It's foundational to our outreach philosophy here. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." If you go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, if you'll look at verse number 13, I'll read from there down through the end of the chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sin alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, for ye are our glory and joy." Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Dear Lord, help this preacher as I preach. Lord, strengthen my voice, my body. Lord, please control my mind. Help our people through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you for the testimonies. What a blessing. What an encouragement. Along with the communion service, obviously we're running a little late. I prayed over what we would cover tonight, and I knew I would have some limited time, and I thought, as I was planning the service and planning the week and thinking about both the timing of this and the 4th of July and the need for our country to see revival and to be reached, and then also for our six-month operation occupation report and some of the things that we were wanting to do, I try to plan every single July, and I think if you'll go back, you'll see this, unless the Lord just really redirects. As part of my plan preaching, I call it a preaching strategy, I always want to, about 6 months away from February, preach a message on missions, because I'm a little worried that we visit it real hard for 1 month and then we'll forget about it for a whole year. So almost always in July or the 1st of August, I'll preach a missions-type message just to stir our hearts. And I was praying over when to do that, and I thought, boy, what better time. Here we are, given the six-month report. Here we are at the time where we are focused in on where our nation is and what needs to happen. And as I said this morning, I've not given up on America, and I've not given up on the idea of revival. I'm not joining that crowd that's waving the white flag. I'm just not doing it. As long as there's God, there's hope. As long as there's God, there's hope. And when I love it when men say the word impossible. I think it makes God laugh. And because with what is impossible to us is very much possible with God. And so I thought we'll do this tonight. And I feel like I have the direction of the Lord. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, let me just review and reiterate something we teach often here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We believe in the philosophy that's taught here. We believe in the both philosophy is what I call it. B-O-T-H, both philosophy. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." There's the word both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God divides up our assignments on four levels. He creates a strategy for the church here. And he says, I don't want you to just be busy impacting your Jerusalem. While you're impacting your Jerusalem, I want you also to be impacting your Judea. And while you're impacting Jerusalem and Judea, I want you to impact your Samaria. And while you're impacting your Jerusalem and your Judea and Samaria, I want you to find a way to impact unto the uttermost part of the earth. And I say often at this point, I believe a small town church should have a worldwide influence. I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. I wish I could go to every Bible preaching church in America and convince them of this. I don't care if they're running 15 or 1,500. Every single church ought to say, we can have a worldwide impact. We can dare to do it because God said we could. God said we could. As we've already learned, the local church has a responsibility to have a fourfold impact for Christ. And what I've done in our church is to try to define this to our situation. These Christians were in Jerusalem, and so that was the epicenter building out to their assignment. But I believe that God would want us to reach our Jerusalem, our church's home area. I say if you're going to reach something and ask people to help you reach it, you need to clearly define it. And we've spent literally hundreds of dollars on maps so that people can go back and say, that's our Jerusalem, that's our responsibility, let's get the gospel to every single door. Operation Occupation will accomplish that. If we'll get busy, if we'll get in it, if we'll get involved with the number of people we have at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, absolutely, if we had 100% participation, we probably would already be almost finished with it. But whoever or whatever anybody else does, I know this, I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm going to be busy in my Jerusalem getting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But wait a minute, I've watched people that get so Jerusalem focused, they just forget and think that that's the only assignment. So I'm going to go down through this fourfold assignment and encourage us once again to have a fourfold impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say it again clearly. The church is challenged to impact our Jerusalem while also impacting our Judea, while also impacting our Samaria, while also impacting the world. And you have a preacher that believes that. You have a preacher that has set up ministries to affect all of those areas. And the devil doesn't like it. The devil doesn't like it. You know, I read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the Apostle Paul, who was very much also bought into this philosophy, he had an enemy. It says in verse number 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. He hindered us. And folks, I promise you, the devil's going to be about trying to hinder the congregation, the pulpit, the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church from having this worldwide vision and being involved in worldwide evangelism. He's going to fight it. He's going to fight it. Now look right up here and let me help you, all right? I'm going to draw a line in the sand. It's good every once in a while for preachers to draw a line in the sand, all right? I'm over on the side with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Apostle Paul saying this is what we're supposed to do and I'm going to be a part of it. Are you contributing to the success of this? Or are you on the other side of the line where you've decided that the best thing to do is try to hinder this? And I want you to be open to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God when I talk about these things, okay? If you're tender and if you're truly saved, then you ought to be excited about what Blessed Hope Baptist Church is doing in outreach. You ought to be pumped about it. You ought to be talking about it. You ought to be praying about it. You ought to be involved in it. Okay, don't utter a discouraging word. Don't utter a discouraging word. Don't you come to me and tell me that the Holy Spirit of God has moved your heart to go around and murmur and complain. You know what the real problem is? You throw a rock and a pack of dogs and the one that howls is the one that gets hit. You introduce an aggressive plan to reach a community and the people that will complain and gripe and whine and murmur are the people that are that their heart, they don't have a heart for souls. And good night, if we do something like this, it might show what I truly am. Folks, listen to me. I'm not going to spend tonight bawling people out, but I am going to spend tonight challenging you. And by the way, rebuking you if you're part of that group, because shame on you, shame on you. There's something so much bigger than me. There's something so much bigger than you that we've been handed. The older I get, the less tolerance, the less patience I have for silliness and pettiness and carnality. And, you know, if you want to spend your life being a drama queen, then go be a drama queen. But don't waste my time, because there's something bigger than us. And there are people out there. I've come to the door. I've looked them in the eye. I've met them. I've watched the Holy Spirit prepare their hearts. I've watched them get saved. God is using this. And so let's get behind it. Let's get excited about it. Amen. I'm going to go down and amen myself. Amen. Blessed Old Baptist Church is starting to lose its amen. There's some things going on. Amen. Come on. Now, how does Satan hinder worldwide missions? How does he do it? Well, first of all, he tries to convince the church that reaching their Jerusalem is not important. Watch this. Satan will seek to change the focus of the church. I'm going to go down and just give you some things. He'll try to get the church to look inwardly instead of outwardly. Let me tell you how a church dies. A church begins to be more worried and concerned about what's happening inside than a world that's dying without Jesus outside. Instead of focusing on the need to reach the lost with the gospel, Satan will try to get people to focus on their own desires, their own pleasures. That's why in most of the newer churches that are booming and going forward and have a lot of people, "Go ye" has been replaced with "entertain me." Entertain me. I don't want to go to a church where I have to hear about this all the time. I just want to go to church where I'll go in and I'll see it and I'll have a good time and it'll be fun and I can walk out with a clear conscience and go back to my carnal life, never sharing the gospel with anyone and feel good about myself. Shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. Satan will try to convince the church members that "ye" does not mean me. Soul winning and visitation should be viewed as the responsibility of every single church member. If church members can begin to justify in their mind why they are an exception to this, then their home area, our home area, will never be impacted with the gospel as it should. Satan will try to cripple the church through personal agendas and petty divisions. Folks, 3,000 people were saved in the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people. But I want to remind you that 10 days before that, 120 Christians had to make some decisions. 120 Christians had to decide, by the way, you're going to have an opportunity to recreate this very event in September at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Oh, that'll be interesting. Amen. 10 days of prayer. 10 days of giving themselves to prayer. 10 days getting themselves in, here's the Bible phrase, in one accord. Emptying themselves of self, emptying themselves of sin, so they can experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And then from that 10-day prayer meeting, they left that upper room, and the Bible says they went out and they spoke of Jesus Christ and they shared the gospel. And through public preaching and private soul winning, personal soul winning, 3,000 people were born again, 3,000 people were saved. The devil is scared of a united assembly. I want to say it again. The devil is scared of a united assembly. The Holy Spirit, part of his mission, part of his job, part of his desire, since he indwells all of us, is to bring us into a spirit of unity. The devil is always about divisions. God hates this so much that he listed 7 things that he hated above anything else that he hated in Proverbs chapter 6. And one of those was "he that sowed discord among the brethren." Folks, listen to me. You know how you keep a church? You know why most Baptist churches in this area can't get together enough to organize any kind of an outreach? Because they're so busy with petty divisions and silly foolishness and personal agendas and a handful of diatrophies that they're all about just trying to have the preeminence instead of seeing that he receives the preeminence. Satan wants to cool off the fervency of the pulpit. He wants to cool that off. The reason a lot of churches aren't reaching their Jerusalem like they ought to is the preacher stopped preaching about it. He gets a little resistance, and so he starts backing off and backing up. You get some people that aren't as excited as they used to, and well, I'd rather keep those people. I better cool down on that subject. You know what we've got to do here? We've got to keep the main thing at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. It's got to start with the pulpit. It's got to be with it's got to start with the preacher. To him, it's worth the risk of offending you. It's worth the risk of pushing you and prodding you a little bit. Who's not real open to have you come with your list of 14 or 15 or 20 excuses why you're the exception to everything. I'm sorry, you don't have that guy as a pastor. You just don't have that guy as a pastor. And you ought to thank God you don't. You ought to thank God you don't. Please support me in this. Please amen me in this. Please stop at the back door and say, preacher, keep on going. I know what you had to do this morning wasn't easy, but we need it. Keep doing it. Keep doing that. Satan wants to create a lukewarm environment through compromise. Folks, if he can accomplish these things, change the focus of the church inwardly, convince church members that ye doesn't really mean you, cripple a church through personal agendas and petty divisions and gossip and all that nonsense, cool off the fervency of the pulpit, and create a lukewarm environment through compromise. Because folks, listen, if standards go out the door, soul winning follows it. Every single time I've watched a church give up on their standards, pretty soon they've given up on their soul winning. So that's how the devil is resisting and trying to hinder the reaching of our Jerusalem. Let's remind ourselves of the other three quickly. What about the Judea? That's our church's regional area. I've got a burden for southern Indiana. I drive across southern Indiana from time to time. Sometimes purposely I'll take a half day and go visit a town on a map. I'm looking right now, praying over the next church plant, where it ought to be and what we ought to do, and just open to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. I call preachers in different areas and talk to them about this. Listen, folks, I don't think it's just our responsibility to reach our Jerusalem outside the borders of that circle. I'm glad some people are saying, what are you doing way out here? We're fulfilling the Great Commission. That's what we're doing way out here. Amen. And so we've got a responsibility. I'd love to see a revival in Indiana. I think if a revival is going to happen in America, it's got to start somewhere. Why not southern Indiana? Why not here? I think we could be a prime candidate. I think over the last 30, 40 years, God's brought some good men into southern Indiana. There's some good churches that have been planted. There's some men that's come in and taken churches and put them back on fire for God. And I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I keep my finger on the pulse of this. You know what? I'm not sure how far away we are really from seeing a regional revival in southern Indiana, and I pray for it, but the devil also keeps his finger on the pulse of what's going on. So how does the devil keep a regional revival from happening? How does he discourage the church in trying to reach their Judea? Well, Satan will work to foster a selfish attitude in our assembly. In other words, what I'm saying is this: if we're not careful, the idea of investing our time or resources in helping another church grow or to plant another church, especially one in our region of the country, is foreign thinking to most assemblies and to many, many preachers. Too many churches have this unscriptural philosophy: if it doesn't put a dollar in our plate or a body in our pew, we don't have anything. We don't want anything to do with it. What a selfish, selfish thing. Folks, listen to me. I don't just carry a burden for our Jerusalem. I carry a burden for Indiana, southern Indiana in particular. I've seen Satan. You know what he'll do? He'll try to stop churches from birthing other churches. Every church, I wish every single church ought to seek to reproduce itself outside the boundaries of its own Jerusalem. Folks, we can run buses and we can knock doors, and trust me, we are pushing the boundaries of our Jerusalem right now. There comes a certain point in time where just logistically, we don't need to push out any farther. We need to see that a church is planted that can reach a brand new area for the Lord Jesus Christ. But if Satan can destroy our heart for church planting, he'll eventually neutralize this aspect of the Great Commission. Keep your heart open to this idea of church planting. Satan loves to create a spirit of jealousy and criticism between independent fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches in a region. You know, it's sad that we can't be glad when God is blessing a sister church in our region of the country. I get excited about it. I mean this. There's not very many weeks go by where I don't get a call from a preacher from somewhere in southern Indiana that says, Brother Ross, I just needed to tell somebody. I just got to tell you about what happened yesterday. Why do they feel like they can call me? You know, because I'm not going to sit there with a spirit of jealousy or compromise, or I'm not going to talk it down what is happening. I'm going to rejoice with them. I'm going to be excited for them. I'm going to pray with them before I hang up the phone. I'm going to give them an attaboy. I'm going to say to God be the glory. I'm going to say, go get them. Go get them. Go get them. And yet, you know, one of the reasons, I mean this, there, by the way, there's a couple pretty good, I don't want to put them all in one basket. There's a couple of pretty good pastor's fellowships that happen in Indiana. But one of the reasons that I for a while, I just quit going to pastor's fellowships. And you know what? Listen, I'm sick of the politics. I'm sick of the criticism. I'm sick of a bunch of preachers sitting around bad-mouthing somebody else on the other side of the county or the other side of the state or sitting around speculating what they think they ought to do if they pastored that church. Well, guess what? You don't pastor that church. Why don't you just pray for that guy? Why don't you get busy in your Jerusalem? And by the way, why don't you send him an encouraging note or make a phone call or send him and his wife a gift certificate or do something to be a blessing? Good night. Are you kidding? We need to remember that churches that preach the same gospel from the same Bible, that they're on the same team as we are. We had to go out of our way to support some of the special meetings of other churches in our area. And by the way, I mean by that, of course, these churches ought to have the right gospel and the right doctrine and the right Bible and the right music. I'm not talking about us, you know what, playing footsies with the evangelicals. I'm not talking about compromise here, but man, if there's a good man out there and he's trying to take a church in the right direction, he's got a friend in Pastor Jerry Ross. So let's be concerned about our Judea. Our Samaria. I know I'm cutting this kind of short, but I got a burden for America, for America as a whole. That burden intensifies during times of year, this time of the year and near the birthday of our nation. And I want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to understand we have a responsibility to our country. Well, how does Satan fight that in Blessed Hope Baptist Church or fight that in a local assembly to have a burden for America? I think Satan will try to get the church to fail to pray for our nation. One of the things I said this morning, first thing I said was, folks, throughout the week, let's take time to pray. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray daily that God would send a real Holy Spirit revival. And Brother Epley called and began to talk to me about the premise of this book, this booklet really that he published. And he told me about how it would become a primer. It would be a template on how to really pray for our country. I said, Brother, we need it. We need it. We need it. You got to get it done. We have to spend the time praying for America. Satan will try to get a church to view home missionary efforts as less important than foreign missionary efforts. And I want to say this from time to time, folks. I'm for reaching the uttermost, and we're going to talk about it in just a minute. But watch this. The truth of the matter is if we don't start investing missions money and church planting in America, we're going to lose the home base. Okay? America has become a mission field. Okay? We are in our post-Christian era. America is no longer a Christian nation. If you think it is, you're living in la-la land. So it's becoming more and more heathen, more and more pagan. Therefore, it needs a missionary sent in. And a certain percentage, we try to make sure we keep going into church planting just all across the country, all across the country. I'm glad that I can just pray over the states that are in our country. And on many of those states, I can thank God for the fact that we had a small part in financing a man to go and start a church there. And we've got to do more of it. We've got to do more of it. I don't know how large we can grow our missions budget. But I have thought about this. Wouldn't it be neat if Blessed Hope Baptist Church was supporting a church plant in all 50 states? In every single state, we were supporting a church plant of some kind. Wouldn't that be an awesome thing to do? And that'd be fun. Amen. Satan will try to get the church to, let me just say it, to fail to vote. Every Christian has a national duty to vote in every election. Folks, we talk about the next big elections, 2020. Let me tell you something. There's a bigger election that's coming up, and that's our midterm election. It's big what's happening right now. I love it because the liberal talking heads are in full panic mode right now. I mean, some of the craziest, wildest, most insane stories are coming out. The liberals have gone off the reservation. They are in full desperation mode. I think that they are scared to death what's going to happen this next election. But watch this. It won't happen if Christians. I do not understand a person that professes to be a born-again Christian and professes to love their country staying at home on an election day. I do not understand that. I don't understand it. We've got to do our duty. Folks, we have to vote Christian principles, okay? People ask me, are you Republican? Are you Democrat? Are you independent? I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian in all areas. I'm a Christian in politics. I want to find that one, I don't care what party they come from, that most align to the precepts and principles of the Word of God, that believe in the things that will preserve our nation and not bring God's judgment hand on our nation. And I'm going to get behind those people, and I'm going to encourage those people, and I'm going to vote for those people. And boy, if Christian, I mean, if in two consecutive elections, in 2018 and 2020, if people across this nation that would profess Jesus as their Savior would show up at the polls and stop voting their pocketbooks, start voting Bible principles, you would watch this nation completely flip-flop, completely turn. And so we've got to do that. We've got to do that. We've got to do that. Man alive, I pray over the map of the United States of America. I pray for pastors in every state. It's not just what's going on here, folks. I gave a part of my life, a part of my life, and not a lot, but a part of my life to leave from time to time and land in different spots in the country and just go and be an encouragement and preach and ask God to bring revival. And I mean, my heart's, I'm an American. What about this matter of the uttermost, the church's global responsibilities? How does the devil fight that? Satan will try to get churches to deprive missionaries of their needed financial support. Many churches are cutting back on missions giving while increasing their spending on personal luxuries and entertainment. And folks, listen, we can't follow that. We can't follow that. We can't follow that. We ought to be a church and are a church. I'm really, really blessed to have a church that gets this missions thing. And we're strong in our missions giving. And by the way, of all of our financial accounts, that's the one that stays the strongest, ends the strongest. I'm glad you have a heart for that. I appreciate that you have a heart for that. Just don't forget that we also have to pay the bills here if we're going to keep supporting those out there, all right? Don't take your tithes and offering check and then make it and designate it to put it into missions. That's wrong. Let me say that. That's wrong. You bring your tithes and offerings and you give them to the storehouse. You give them to your local assembly. And then on top of that, you bring an offering. But I promise you, folks, we can't get that mixed up in your... Well, I just think instead of doing that, I'd rather... Now, listen, you're going against the precepts and principles of God's Word. You know, I've kidded sometimes and said this. You know, I see a missionary come in, they show their video presentation, and at the end they play some sappy song that gets your heart and pictures of all these people that are lost. And, well, we just say, we've got to do something. I said, I'm going to put together one of those videos. And at the end of it, I'm going to play this sappy music, and I'm going to have a picture of the electric bill and a picture of the water bill. And I don't know if it'll have quite the same effect, but folks, listen to me. That's just as necessary. That we keep this ministry strong financially, because I've watched churches get sideways. You know, all of a sudden it becomes a test of spirituality, a heightened spirituality, to dump all the money going out and nothing staying in. And we have to take care of the home base here. Okay, I've said enough. Satan has fought to discourage a generation of young people. Well, this breaks my heart. I mean, he's full-fledged war, folks. I mean, he's declared war. He's not sneaking around about it. It's in your face. It is an assault on independent fundamental Baptist churches to discourage the next generation of young people from surrendering their lives to the service of the Lord. Church seems willing to send almost anything to the mission field except their own children or grandchildren. The church seems willing to send almost anything to the mission field except their own children or grandchildren. Lukewarm Christian families are producing selfish, carnal Christian young people, none of whom are the least bit interested in spending their lives in sacrificial service. Help us, Lord, help us. We're not reaching the world because we're losing our kids. We're not reaching the world because we're losing our kids. Satan fights character development in our young people. I want to hit on this. It takes stellar character and conviction to stay on the mission field, to be involved long term in the reaching of the world for Jesus Christ. It takes stellar character. Jesus said, to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So he says, as the basis of your character, in order to be a disciple, in order to be involved, you have to have self-denial. You have to have a willingness to pick up a cross and carry it. And you have to have submissive followership trained and taught into your heart. Well, the devil can read. So he goes to that verse and says, well, if these three things, self-denial, willingness to do the hard thing, pick up a cross, and the willingness to be submissive and just follow, if those three things will produce a generation of missionaries, then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fight those things tooth and nail, and he has fought them. Instead of self-denial, we have a generation of selfishness. Instead of a willingness to pick up something heavy, pick up a cross, we have a generation that has become soft. We have selfishness and softness and stubbornness. Instead of submissive fellowship, there's stubbornness. The devil has and will always fight to hinder worldwide missions. He's going to attack all four key elements of this. You've got to be so careful that you do not let the devil get into your mind and change your thinking. If you'll think scripturally, you'll feel appropriately, and you'll act wisely. Tonight, we went back to the scriptures. Let them renew your mind. And let's stop letting the focus turn into here. And let's get the focus where it ought to be, out there doing the main thing. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd bless, Lord, this message and these verses. And thank you for this night. Lord, as we go into the second half of this year, I pray that it would be a good place for all of us, preacher, people, pulpit, pew, to stop and do self-evaluation, to really take a look, to help us to go back through our priorities, help us to refocus, help us not to let the devil steal away from our hearts, Lord, the desire and the willingness to be obedient in this matter of reaching the world with the Lord Jesus, with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the souls that were saved this week as a result of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, not just having a Jerusalem mentality, but a Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost mentality. Thank you for the seed that has been sown in all of these fields in the past week. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. And dear Lord Jesus, I'm going to obey you by praying for what you said to pray for. I want to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers unto his harvest, to help us reach our Jerusalem, to help us reach the Judea, to help us reach the Samaria, and some even that would be willing to go to the uttermost parts of the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name.